Which country holds the world record for being recession-proof? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The answer, Australia, known for its koalas and kangaroos and the fact that it hasn't had an economic downturn in 26 years. It's been called the wonder down under, and growth figures out today show it remains so. The BBC's Howell Griffiths in Sydney says last quarter's 0.8% growth was better than expected.
It would put the last year's growth figures at 1.8%. So Australia, which hasn't had a recession in over a quarter of a century, is still enjoying a bit of sunshine. Now, the actual growth, we're told, is down largely to domestic spending. So people deciding to spend their cash on more clothing, more foods, more household furnishings. However, the economists warned that this is mostly due to the fact that savings rates are down. So instead of keeping the money in the bank, they've splashed it a little back at home. That probably isn't sustainable long term. So there are plenty of people still worried here about Australia's economic future. It doesn't enjoy quite the commodities boom of the last decade when it could sell its iron ore and coal to everyone in the world, particularly China. The demand there has slowed somewhat, and so is the Australian economy still trying to find ways to diversify.
Hal Griffiths in Sydney. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are down across the board as investors fear the impact that Hurricane Irma, the storm has now become the most powerful hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic. The 100-share index led the way, down 42 points or 0.57%. Now, the Golden Arches is slimming down in India. Almost half of the country's McDonald's shut today. I remember when the first ever Mickey D's opened in Delhi with great fanfare back in 1996. So why is the chain no longer the Maharaja Mac of fast food? The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari is in Mumbai.
The Indian local partner for McDonald's, which runs around 169 stores in the north and east of India, as of today, that local partner is no longer authorized to use the McDonald's branding, the trademark, and the intellectual property. McDonald's has a 50-50 joint venture with this Indian partner. And at the end of August, McDonald's actually terminated the franchise agreement for these outlets. The local partner is led by a man called Vikram Bakshi, and he has opposed the termination move and challenged it, but a law tribunal dismissed it. He's been running McDonald's for the last 22 years in India, so this is a big knock for him.
Now, I understand McDonald's is looking for a new partner, but amidst all of this, it's not doing as well as some of its fast food rivals.
It has lost a lot of ground to other fast food chains that have come in more recently, chains like Domino's and Burger King. Now, McDonald's says it's looking for a new partner. It's already got a partner that runs its outlets in the west and south of India. That's around 261 outlets, and it's got a good relationship with that partner. So many people are saying that it might just strike up another contract with that same partner for the north and east as well.
Suranjana Tiwari in Mumbai. What would you rather have, quality of life or fast broadband? What if you want both? Well, even in the world's richest countries, the urban-rural digital divide is still significant, and it hurts rural economies. I've been meeting some retirees in England who are changing that.
I'd go in today.
On a wet day in northern England, three men are digging. How old are you?
64.
I'm 65.
63.
Shouldn't you be, I don't know, playing golf, sitting by the fire, reading a book? This is hard work.
This is more fun.
They're volunteers for Barn, broadband for the rural north. It's a cooperative financed and owned by its customers. Big telecom companies refuse to lay fibre optic cable to each rural home, arguing it's too expensive. So in 2012, villagers here decided to build their own network. Chris Condor is a former hairdresser who led the effort.
We started on March the 31st with the Day of the Spades, where all the villagers turned up with spades. But then it started to rain, and 2012 is the wettest year on record. Things started to grind to a halt because the last thing they wanted to do was dig broadband in.
Barn now provides broadband fast enough to download a movie in a few seconds to about 3,000 homes and employs 25 people. In the US, there is a persistent gap in rural broadband connectivity. Aaron Smith, Associate Director of the Pew Research Foundation, says low speeds have a major economic impact.
40% of rural adults do not have access to broadband connection of 25 megabits per second or higher. For urban adults, that share is just 2%. Obviously, many businesses need to be able to sell their products online. So in many ways, this is a crucial resource.
A number of small private companies are filling this connectivity gap. But if you can't find one and need inspiration to dig your own network, listen to John Hamlett, a video producer in Northern England, who dug his connection all summer.
If I finished a video project and I wanted to upload it, you'd have to leave it running overnight. You'd go to the computer the next day and find it failed. So it could take days to upload something. Whereas as soon as I got onto Barn, you know, it just took a few minutes.
1 gigabit per second, that's the speed he's got. By the way, Barn's initial investors are getting a 5% return. Finally, the maker of Angry Birds, Rovio, is planning to offer shares on Finland's stock market in a move that could value the company at $2 billion. Please, if anyone can tell me why my kids love Angry Birds, I will send you a free green pig. Tweet us at BBC Business in London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.